Hello and welcome to Feminist Fridays, your weekly intersectional dose of self-empowerment and equality. I'm your host, Sarah Liberty, coming to your airwaves from Sydney. And this week we have a guest who is a multi-award winning French-American musician who is not just loud and proud with her singing, songwriting, composition and record producing. She's also happily out there about living child-free. Her name is Lily Rocklin, and today she's based in New York City, where she's making a splash with a song she's written called Child Free, about the decision not to have kids and to embrace it. So I know you're dying to meet Lily, but before we do, we're going to kick off with Lily's folk pop track Child Free. So stay tuned because we'll be right back.
And we have gained more and more freedom. Since the 60s, I won't regret not doing what's wrong for me, 'cause it's my decision and it's my life.
Lily, welcome to Feminist Fridays.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to meet you. So I'm glad we were able to connect. So I wanted to start by asking where you grew up and what your early influences were. I understand that you grew up on the French Riviera, and that must have been wonderful.
Yes. Well, you know, the French Riviera, the weather is very much like, you know, San Diego and Sydney as well, you know, in Australia. So, you know, very beautiful, very warm, palm trees and everything. But, you know, apart from that, there's not too much going on as far as music industry.
Yeah, sure.
So my early influences musically, there's quite a bit. I would say it was probably ABBA and the Beatles, because that's what my parents were listening to a lot. And then I listened to a lot of different music. I did listen to a lot of Brit pop, like Blur and Stereophonics and Oasis, that sort of thing in the 90s. And I listened to a lot of Sheryl Crow as well.
I think we have quite similar musical tastes. I grew up listening to a lot of Blur and Oasis and Britpop and Elastica as well. And so these brought you onto the path of wanting to be a musician. What did you do first? Because it sounds to me like you're a very talented person. I'm just curious to know, what was the first sort of endeavor that you made into the music industry?
Thank you. Well, you know, I actually started by writing poems, and I was maybe 9 or 10, and I had a little notebook and I'd write poems. At first, I wrote a few in French, and then I just started to write them in English, even though, you know, my English was not very good back then. It would just flow that way from probably just listening to English and American, you know, music and songs. And yeah, it started that way. And then I had my first band when I was in middle school, high school. I was about 15, and we put a little pop band together with a girlfriend of mine, and we were singing as a duet. And we were writing already songs. So I learned co-writing and doing vocal harmonies then. And after that, I wanted to explore more other people's music. So I went into cover bands to learn a little bit more on stage and things like this. And I think that was what was the most available in that area, especially in the south of France. It, you know, original music was not that popular there. And then, you know, I went on writing songs.
Amazing. You know, I've lived in France. I lived in Paris for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was studying.
Yeah, I know.
So I have a very soft spot for France. So it sounds like you were very self-taught earlier in your career. You sort of, with the poetry, you sort of started experimenting a little bit by yourself. Is that right?
Yes. And my father is a guitarist. So he, he's a lead guitarist, and he was playing for wedding and festival bands until when I was little, and then he stopped because he wanted to take care, you know, of his family, more time for us. And I was used to, when I was very little, I would go to his shows with my mom and things like this. And then as far as instruments, so I guess voice was always my first and main instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a little bit of, you know, what we say, le solfège in French, you know, just like, you know, notes and things like this on the keyboard. And it's really, you know, when I moved to the U.S. that I really learned so much more about songwriting, and at first with the original bands. And then I took piano lessons, and recently now I'm playing the ukulele.
Oh, fun. Fun. So what was your sort of first big break? Sounds like I would have loved to have a dad who was a guitarist, by the way. That would have been very cool. But it sounds like you sort of started experimenting. What was the first big break that you got?
Yeah, you know, I looked at it like it was a small opportunity, but for me it was so big. So it was in my little band in high school. So we got the gig of playing on the big stage of the pre-high school diploma celebration. It's that in the spring for all the senior high school students that are going to pass the final exams. And so there's like a big festival and parties, and there's live music on big stage. And my high school is one of the biggest high schools of France. It's 9,000 students.
Ah, wow.
So we had this gig, and that was my first big stage. And that was really, for me, the breakthrough where I felt, oh, I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. I'm going to have to perform and write songs. And so started to get quite an obsession for me. And moving to the U.S. was a little bit of a cultural something that was attracted to the U.S. about the music culture.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was like 12, and I wanted to come to the U.S. to do music and learn about songwriting, and I liked, and I still do, obviously, writing in English. So, you know, for me, it was okay. I'd have to go to the US or the UK, but I really wanted to come to the US.
Mm. You've had quite an incredible and impressive career so far. I'm curious to know what to you. I mean, I've got some information in front of you. You've won numerous noteworthy accomplishments, including honor awards, music releases, music videos, impressive radio airplay, special live performances, and several TV and film song placements. That's amazing. What stands out as being the most meaningful and memorable in your career to date?
That is hard to pick one, but I might pick a few. So, you know, TV placements are great, especially artistically. You know, when, you know, I'm a storyteller, you know, I write songs, and then when I see it in a different context, and, you know, where the music supervisor or the director, they took the song and they interpret it a different way, and then they're going to put it in a specific scene as background, and then it gives it a completely different dimension and completely different meaning. And I'm always so curious about that sort of thing. And so I think to date, the one placement that was just really special, it's when I had the chance to have Maddie Ziegler, who's the dancer of Sia in Sia's music video.
Ah.
she danced on one of my songs, Thank You. That was on the show Dance Moms. And so that was one of her last solos. And that was just really, it was really special. It was really beautiful. It's such a mixing dance and, you know, and my stories together was just really, really beautiful. And also that lot of attention with this, just kind of following.
Yeah.
And that was really unique, very moving. The song is about, thank you, my song Thank You is about gratitude in general.
Yeah.
And she had done a very beautiful and moving and lyrical dance routine. And another one is really special. When I sang the U.S. national anthem at a Citi Field, who's the home for the Mets, baseball team, and that was just really awesome. Well, I had sang the U.S. national anthem before for a few events here and there, but the Citi Field is just really. Really special. It was for a run by the Colorado. It was on for a Mets game, but it was still a huge stadium.
Yeah.
So it was just, that was really special. And the U.S. national anthem, that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I moved here as an immigrant and, you know, so it's really special. I feel, you know, French and American. And then I guess the last thing is the most recent. I was featured in the New York Times a few months ago. And with my son Child Free. So that's really huge. And it happened just for my birthday.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good birthday present. Those things are so amazing and cool. I would love to have Sia's backup dancer show me a few moves. she's amazing. She's impressive. And also seeing you know, at a stadium with the Mets, that's very kick-ass. That's very cool. So we've just touched on your song Child Free. I'd love to ask you a bit more about that. So you've been making a splash for your chance as a child-free woman, and you're not afraid to have your positive experience of living child-free known. What led you to want to start talking about and singing about your decision not to have children?
Yeah, you know, I heard about the word child-free a few years ago, and I don't know, I was reading some articles, and the movement was starting to get a little louder, and I thought, wow, that is just me. I am child-free, and so I started to follow podcasts and watch more materials and join some forums and groups of, you know, there's a whole community of us. And I realized that a lot of women have to deal with a lot more pressure than I ever had in my choice. Mm. And I felt so much compassion for them, and I felt I needed to do something. So, this is when I decided, oh my gosh, how about it, you know, if we had a son? And I said, I should do the son. So just came up that way. And it took a lot of courage, because I was like, what are people, you know, that they might want to get a lot of backlash. And then I thought, well, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Mm. And so I did it. And, you know, my goal is to bring the support that I had myself as a child-free woman, because I didn't have pressure from my family like some do. And music and a song, it's a great way to normalize the topic and any topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm also a woman who's decided to live child-free, and it's sort of not something that I planned really when I was growing up or thought about, but I'm very, very happy with the way that things have panned out and my life has gone. And I think it is exciting, actually. And I think it's great that you wanted to tap into that community and that sort of movement around people who are not afraid to just say, yeah, I'm living without kids and I'm really happy, actually. So is your decision not to have children, was that a deliberate one, or was it something that kind of just happened?
So it wasn't something that I had to think a lot about. I think I was about 15 years old, and I was just taking a walk with a girlfriend from, you know, school, and we were just walking downtown, and, you know, just a teenage girl's conversation. And so she said, oh, what about you? How many kids do you want to have later? Do you want a boy? Do you want a girl? And I said, oh, I'm not going to have kids. And she was like, really? I said, no. I was like, no, that's not for me. I don't see myself at all. And that was it. So it was a true insight, and it was very, you know, candid and very sweet, you know, young teenage girls. And that was it. And I never had pressure from my mother, and I'm really lucky with this. You know, she never said, oh, when you're gonna have kids later. And I grew up having the freedom to choose my toys when I was a kid. I was never given as a gift a baby doll.
Oh.
Like, oh, here's your baby doll and a stroller, and you need to practice now. And I see this as conditioning of little girls into, you know, mother-to-be. And, my parents would just take me to a store and, okay, you know, pick what you want. And, you know, and I had Barbie, of course, you know, very independent woman. And I had Jem and the Holograms. And, that was my
Jem.
My first singing. Yeah.
I loved Jem. Jem was my favorite. And she had her own rock band.
Yes.
Jem and the Holograms. And she had the coolest outfits. Jem was amazing. Yeah. We love Jem.
Yeah, my first singing inspiration.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I didn't have, and only, you know, recently we spoke with my mother about, you know, the child-free choice. And she said that, you know, herself when she was young and chatting with my dad about whether they were going to have kids, she said, oh, well, a woman should feel it in her womb if she wants to have kids. And so she felt it. And she said, it's not because I felt it that every other woman should feel that. And so, you know, I was lucky to grow up with that. And I know, and I'm aware that, and I've heard some friends too, that a lot of other women, they deal with a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, I'm quite similar to you. I was lucky that I grew up with a family that didn't sort of place those sorts of pressures on me to feel like I had to get married or I had to have children. And I like children, and I think marriage is a great thing if you meet the right person. But at the moment, you know, my life is quite different, and I'm quite happily independent, single. And I think I'm really fortunate that I've grown up, I've had the support network to sort of encourage me to pursue my career, to pursue my passions, to pursue things that I care about, like this podcast. But I do know that there is that, like you say, that conditioning that occurs. I did grow up with dolls, but most of my Barbies had their hair chopped off. So they all had punk rock hairdos. That Jem got to keep her hair, but the Barbies didn't. And Ken was just confusing to me. I didn't like his outfits. But yes, I had some fond memories of growing up with dolls, but I didn't necessarily play with them in the way that they were intended. So it sounds like you've had quite an interesting response to your decision to talk about living child-free. What's the response been like?
Yeah, you know, when I put out the song, so at first my close network and fans, so some of them were neutral, and they were like, oh, it's a great song and great story, and that's great, you know, that's what everybody should react like. Then I had very positive reactions, and I had some women that that wrote me, and that I didn't know that they were child-free or that it was by choice, because it seems in our society that it's become, or it's always been, the topic you're not going to talk about, because it's always that, well, the woman doesn't have kids, she's probably is childless, and then she probably cannot have kids, and so it must be painful, and so you should not bring up the topic. And so that was really interesting, because a lot of women that I know and that don't have kids, they actually said, oh, you know, I'm child-free by choice too. And I love your song. And I shared it with my friends. And I was, wow, that's a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice to hear. And then, of course, you know, I got some negative reactions. There are some women, you know, whether it's relatives or a few friends, you know, that have kids and that said they felt like if I was saying that women should not have kids, like all of them, or that they felt that they had to justify why they have children. So I don't know why. I mean, that's their therapy to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, you know, you're a great mom, you know, and, you know, sure. And so I had, you know, to say that the song is not about polarizing us. It's not about saying, well, women should not have kids. No, it's about saying out loud that women that don't have children by choice, that were happy. And people have a hard time computing this.
I think so.
That we're happy, you know?
Yeah. And I think me listening to the song, it's a celebration about mm-hmm. the possibility of what you can do if you choose to live a certain way. And like you say, it's not about trying to shame or cause a bad feeling towards people that do have children. I think they have a lot of respect for them, but it does seem to be an issue that does polarize people. But that's why I'm passionate about talking about it with people like you. And I think, you know, you've touched on some of the biggest misconceptions around not having children. Like, you know, if you don't have children, you might not be happy. But what do you think are some of the other common misconceptions? And what about men who don't have children? Do you think they receive similar sorts of feedback?
So some of them do get some pressure from their fathers, apparently, but it's not like women. Women are completely attached. I mean, not attached, but in people's heads, in society's heads, that a woman should have a baby in her arm, a woman in her arms, you know, and a woman should experience pregnancy and birth and giving birth in her life. And that's, you know, that's something that needs to be broken down. Like, you know, womanhood is not motherhood. You don't need to have motherhood to have, you know, to experience womanhood.
Yeah.
I think men definitely don't, you know, a man that is career minded is not going to be blamed for not having children. It's going to be, oh, he's had a great career. Oh, he's just focused on his career. He's just not going to have kids. It's okay. He's just a great CEO or this and that, you know? But a woman that's career minded and a CEO, it's, oh, she sacrificed her life and not having children for her career, and she's suddenly this like terrible monster, you know. So, and this is really unfair, and we need equality on this.
Definitely.
At least saying that we don't want kids, then it's often, at least, and that's what I say in my song. And that's what I have experienced. It's often synonymous with, oh, you don't have a heart.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're like, yeah, you're not normal and that sort of thing. So, and that's why I sing, you know, they say I'm heartless in my song. Every woman gives love in so many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask, what is your next song going to be about?
You know, it's interesting. I have a few ideas. I have some lyrics ideas. These days I'm very busy with one, you know, spreading the word about this big song. And I do have some lyric ideas, you know, for like to do an EP. So, you know, we'll see. I can't really tell too much.
Okay.
But there will be another one that's definitely for women. So we'll have to chat again.
Awesome.
But yeah, and then, you know, also I always have, you know, what I call regular topic songs, you know. But yeah, I am thinking doing an EP. I'm doing an MBA.
Oh.
Yeah, this was my project during the pandemic. You know, wanted to expand my education on business to support my music business and just everything in the business world. So I'm hoping to graduate in July. So not sure if I'll do the EP before then. Probably not.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you do next. So as this is a feminist radio segment and podcast, I'd like to ask how feminism has been part of your journey. And just so you know, I'm an intersectional feminist. So I believe feminism is about equality for all.
Yes. You know, I was thinking the other day, since when have I felt like I'm a feminist in this, then, you know, and this is definitely me. I think it came when I was a teenager. I believe it's a little bit silly story, but I think it was when I heard the words girl power for the first time. And I think it was the Spice Girls, which is really cute. And that had me thinking. And I felt, oh my gosh, like girls, we're powerful.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to be behind a man. And, you know, at home was always encouraged to have a career and do anything I want, you know, and push that direction anyway. It was never like, oh, you're going to need to get a rich husband or something. And so, yeah, girl power is always something big. And and it's just the way I've always felt, and that, you know, women need to be supported. Otherwise, you know, we lose any sort of space we've gained, you know, in society. And so anytime there's something to talk about women, you know, I'm in the music industry where it's dominated by men, especially in anything that's audio engineering or a little bit techie style, you know, it's going to be a man thing. So I've had to dealt with a lot of sexism in the music industry. And for my last album, Be Inspired, I put out a 7-minute documentary where I show the work I've done with the album, and I explain, you know, that my goal is always to inspire other women that they can do music production if they want to do, you know, even if it's mostly like 90% men.
I love it. Girl power. I'm going to go and listen to the Spice Girls later on. I'm very inspired to do that. But I think, you know, it is true. There is a lot of, there are still battles that women are having to face, whether depending on, no matter what industry, they're still there. Yes. But determined women like us are ready to face it and, yeah, keep on doing what you're doing. I think it's really exciting and I can't wait to hear what you do next. So I have one final question, which is, where can my listeners find you, follow you and connect with you if they want to support the amazing musical and positively child-free work that you're doing? So feel free to plug your website, social media and anything else here.
Yes. So My Song Child Free is on all music platforms, as well as all of my other albums. And my album Be Inspired Deluxe Edition is available with the music video Feel Good. There is also a lyric video for Child Free. And you can sing along, and it's on YouTube.
Great.
And the song is on YouTube as well. And you can check out the cover art, which features 55 happy child-free women on the cover art. And yeah, and I also wanted to offer the listeners that I have an online store and I would love to send out my tote bag, which has the artwork says time to believe in how you truly want to be on the tote bag. I'd love to send it out to the first listener that sends me a message on Instagram, and I'll send it out as a gift. So hopefully many send me the message and I'll pick the first one.
Fantastic. That sounds like an awesome gift. That's amazing. We'll mm-hmm. definitely make that happen. Lily, I think you're amazing. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm really grateful that we've connected as very like-minded women. So keep on doing the amazing stuff that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Well, we have served you another sassy episode of Feminist Fridays for this week. But before you head off, here's another track by Lily called Rise Above. And after meeting Lily, I hope you can all rise above the rain here in Sydney and have a wonderful weekend.
All the different places in the country and all the different people in each city. Let go of hate to be compassionate. We are still meant to live together. Reach out and understand each other. Rise above so you can find your true identity. We are still meant to live together. Reach out and understand.